So last class we started talking about dynamic programming. That is sort of the technique for today and for the next last class, this class, and also next class. And it's a dynamic programming is this algorithmic technique, which we described what it was last time. It was this idea that you evaluate a recurrence relation efficiently by storing results. And we showed that how you use it for the Fibonacci numbers, and everybody understood. We showed how you use it for this problem of computing edit distance. Okay, and that may have been partially discussed last time. Any questions about edit distance? Okay, I'm probably going to go through that a little bit more carefully a little later. Okay, but basically we showed how to compute the edit distance between two strings by a recursive algorithm, and then saw that there were not that many distinct recursive calls in there. So we could store the answers the first time we compute them, and then what's left to compute is very, very small. That was the idea of dynamic programming. And so what I'm talking about today, just from the problem of the day, is another problem where you classically apply dynamic programming to. And so I want to show it to you. So just to try to get a feel for what the method is like. And maybe the two examples I want to go into detail with in dynamic programming is this problem of matrix multiplication and edit distance. Okay, but there are lots of such things. So what is the problem asking? The problem says that you are given an X, multiplying an X by Y matrix by a Y times Z matrix using the standard simple algorithm takes X times Y times Z multiplication. Does everybody see why that is? At one point in your life, you knew how to multiply matrices. Okay, how did you do it? Well, you took it with what was it? It was an X by Y matrix. And let's say we had a Y by Z matrix, right? This is Y by Z. How big was the product of an X by, of this whole matrix multiplication? How big is the answer you're going to get back? X by Z, right? And what will, actually no, that's not what it would look like, because Z is small in this example. You would get an X by Z matrix, right? So your matrix would come out looking something like this. And what was it, each value here? What was the value 1, 1 that was output? It was what you got was the dot product of multiplying the first term in this row by the first term in that column, and adding it to the first term in that, the second term in that row times the second term in that column. Dot, 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 dot. Does everybody remember that? Matrix multiplication. Okay, so how many elements were there? There were X times Z elements in the product. How many multiplications did each one take to get that value? Y, right? It was Y multiplications plus summing up those Y numbers. The total number of multiplications was X times Y times Z, because you had X times Z elements, each of which took Y steps. Everybody agree with that? Okay. Now, it says that matrix multiplication is associative, meaning you can parenthesize an ordered chain of matrix multiplications however you want, and you always get the same answer. Okay, so what does associative mean? If I give you four matrices and ask you to multiply them, B times C times D, if I wanted to get the answer, I could multiply them how? I could multiply A times D, take the product of that and multiply it by C, take the product of that and multiply it by D, right? Or I could multiply A times B, and multiply C times D and multiply the product of that. Or I could do what else? Is there any other way I could multiply them?
Yes. C times D times
C times D times B
times A.
Times A, right? It is associative, but it is not commutative. Know what commutative means? Then you could rearrange the things. Can I rearrange these matrices if this was A and B? Do I get the same thing if I multiply D times A?
No, that should be obvious. Why? Because then it says I can't multiply B times A. Right? What is B times A going to be? It's a Y by Z matrix times an X by Y matrix. These dimensions don't match. You can't even get an answer from that, right? So you don't have the freedom to move the multiplication, to rearrange them. But you have the freedom to change the order, the parenthesization order. Does everybody agree with that? Okay? Now, what difference does it make? You get the same answer either way. Is it necessarily cost the same in terms of the number of multiplications you do over these three possible arrangements? Okay? Why might it not be, why might one arrangement be more desirable than another, just intuitively? Okay? Yeah? Okay, so you want to say, suppose you're multiplying A 1 billion by 1 matrix times, let's say, A 1 by, one by 10 matrix, 100 matrix, times a 100 by 1 matrix. Okay, let's say we're doing this as a special case. What is the best order to do it in? Okay? If I want to find out, how big is the final answer going to be? The final answer is going to be pretty big, isn't it? Okay? Maybe let me have another 1 by 1 billion matrix out here. Right? What's going to happen if I do it? It won't be an example of a lousy order to do it in. Okay? Yeah. A times B is going to give me what? How big is the matrix I get after that? 1 by 1. What's the cost of that? 1 million. Okay? Multiply A by B. And then what would be the cost of the remaining work? What are you proposing here? That would be 1 million steps. Okay? How much would it be this times this? That would be 10, what's 100 times 100? 10,000? 10,000. And now I've also got a 1 by 1 matrix. What's the cost of multiplying this by this and afterwards? 1. So the total cost is going to be basically 1 billion, right? Now, is there any way I'm going to be able to avoid paying a cost of a billion, no matter what I do? Now, I'm going to have to look at this matrix at some point, right? Does everybody agree with that? So I'm doomed to paying a billion. Sounds like a lot. But what would be an even worse order? What would be a much worse order to multiply the matrices? Yeah? If I multiply B times C, now what have I done? I've spent a million times 100. So I've already spent 100 times more work than anything else that I've done. And now I've got a 1 billion, 1 times 10 to the 8th, by 10 to the third, second matrix. And now what would be a dumb thing for me to do? I've got a 1 by 1 matrix, a 1 by 1 million matrix here. Okay? What would be a good, the next dumb thing to do? Okay? Maybe if I multiply this thing by this, now I'm going to pay another factor of 100 times this, right? And now I've got a 1 billion by 100 matrix again. And now I multiply a 1 by 1 billion matrix. But what is it? This is still going to be 1 billion by 10. Now I'm going to 100. I'm now going to pay 100 times a billion again in that final matrix multiplication. Does everybody see that I'm doing only about 300 times more work than I have to? Okay. Everybody sort of, I know my handwriting is bad here, so it might have gotten lost. But does everybody see that the principle multiplying is B times C times D times A is going to be much worse than A times B. Because if I'm multiplying it A by B, I've killed that million dimension. Okay? And now all I've got is four matrices left. Everybody see that? So I claim the cost of multiplying a chain of matrices can be wildly different depending upon the order in which you parenthesize. Does everybody believe that? That's the key issue here. Any questions? Do any of you ever, in the course of your life, ever come up with a reason why you want to multiply a chain of matrices together? In physics is the kind of thing people might do. But I think you might have in one of your classes, yeah? Meaning graphics and stuff like that? In graphics, when you take a graphics class, how do you feel taking the graphics class? Do you multiply a lot of matrices together there? Okay, so there, okay? So you have long chains of matrices you multiply in graphics. Doing them in the right order might save money, okay? Any questions? So what is the gist of this problem asking you now? I give you a bunch of matrices. You know, let's say A by B by C by D by dot, dot, dot. What is the best way to parenthesize them? Okay? Can anybody suggest an algorithm or a heuristic or some rule to decide how to parenthesize them? Okay? Since you have to multiply, yeah. One possibility is to go through, exhaustively go through all possibilities. Okay? So one possibility is to construct all possible ways to parenthesize n matrices. And then figure out what is cheapest. That will be correct. How many ways are there to parenthesize n matrices? Okay, and exponential. Anybody know how exponential? Trivia question. Okay, the number of ways to parenthesize n things, if you took a good enough combinatorics class, you will learn with the Catalan numbers, the n Catalan numbers. Does that sound familiar to anyone who took 301? Okay, don't blame me. What do you think is good enough combinatorics class then? But anyway, that's not that bad. I mean, anyway, Catalan number is a little more advanced, but basically it's about 4 to the n. Okay? So 4 to the n, such parentheses, a way to parenthesize n sets of parentheses, that's too expensive, right? Anything you'll save by multiplying your matrices you just lost in deciding the best order. Okay? Any other ideas how you might parenthesize these things? Yeah? Okay, so one idea might be to find the one with the biggest y value and multiply that one first to get rid of that. Okay? And then repeatedly find the small one with the smallest y value and get rid of that. Okay? That often sounds like a reasonable strategy. Is it necessarily the best strategy? Okay? I see no reason to believe it is necessarily the best strategy. Can we go up with a counterexample to it? Okay, so when you come up with an algorithm like that's actually not a bad heuristic or rule. I kind of like that idea. Okay? But now it's right now in a limbo. We don't know if it's correct or not. It sounds reasonable. Okay? But we don't know if it's correct or not. Okay? And now it's basically you need to find a proof or a counterexample. Okay? Can anyone suggest some set of matrices where that does badly? Let's think about that. Well, you might make the wrong thing by picking the largest value. Okay? Let's try the following. Okay, you have an idea? Let's try your idea.
What if the x value
is very small? The x value is very large and the y value is very small. So you want to say, it might be that you have a matrix that is very, very, x is small, x is big, y is small, okay? So this is, again, what is the order that we're doing here? This has got to be, again, I think of it as x by y. For this to work, then y has got to be big. So you're going to have something like this, right? This would be an example of something that could. You have a long, skinny one, tall, thin one. This could create a big matrix as a result, right? So what might be an example where I don't like his rule? His rule might not give you the right answer. Let me propose the following kind of an idea. Suppose, let's say, I give you a matrix that is, I give you a 1 by y matrix times a y 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 by 1 matrix. Okay? Now, you have this idea that you want to eliminate the y that is shared, right? Y could be big. Y is a billion. Okay? Now, one thing to note here is if I multiply this by this, what do I get back? A 1 by y matrix, right? And so one strategy I could use is to multiply the 1 by y matrix. It seems to me my best strategy is to do what? To take the 1 by y matrix and multiply this one out along here, right? Rather than start in the middle. If I start in the middle, I get a y by y matrix. I play y cubed for that, right? Does everybody agree that every place else I'm only playing y squared? So what would your heuristic do on this particular example? You tell me get rid of the largest y. You might say, well, why don't you get rid of this one first? Or why don't you get rid of this one first? Does everybody see that? Okay, and if it's a tie, you'll be doing the wrong thing. Okay? So this is actually a good example here, I think. Does everybody sort of see the idea here? Very plausible looking rule, but it broke. Okay, it didn't give us the right answer here in this example. Yeah. Yeah. So you want to say what is the smallest size matrix first? So basically do the smallest size matrix first. Okay? And is that a good idea or a bad idea? Sounds plausible. Sounds really bit as plausible as the previous one. Okay? Is that a good thing to do? Maybe. But can we come up with a counterexample for that idea? Just think about this. So now, seems to me that the following might be a counterexample to that idea. Okay, at least intuitively. Let's agree that there's two different kinds of matrices that have n elements. One is square root n by square root n. Another one of which is 1 by m. Okay? Both of them have the same number of elements. Right? So by your measure, these would be equally desirable, right? You couldn't distinguish between them, right? So if I have a long chain of matrices, and one of them was going to give me a square root n by square root n matrix, and one was going to give me a 1 by n m matrix, you wouldn't know which one of these is better, right? Okay? And I would argue there's no reason to believe that they're going to do the same, right? You sort of agree with that? So I claim that by working on this idea more, I should be able to make it. So one of these is much worse than the other one. Okay, and therefore your heuristic wouldn't work. Okay, does everybody sort of see the idea, at least vaguely? Yeah? Okay, maybe you can combine a lot of things. Okay, I agree with that. But now you're in a wishful thinking mode, right? You're not in... There's two ways you design the algorithm. One is you say, he gave you a correct algorithm that was slow. You're giving me a fast algorithm that is incorrect. And you're saying if I make it more and more correct, it'll eventually get correct. Okay? And what I want to now do instead is to take his correct algorithm and show you how to do it fast. Okay? Does everybody sort of understand my vision now? Okay? So what strategy will I want to use? I claim that I will want to use dynamic programming. What is dynamic programming? It's a way to compute recurrence relations by storing partial results. Is there a way that I can figure out the cost? So what is the key idea here? I want to try to come up with a recurrence relation to tell me what the cost is of multiplying matrices. Okay? Any questions? So how am I going to do this?
Let me show you a, hold on, it's better here. So, what is the idea here? Okay, okay, so here is basically the idea. Okay, it's what we basically showed you before, that given matrices with particular dimensions, we agree that different multiplication orderings can give greatly different costs. Okay? We now need to have a recurrence relation to compute what the optimal cost is. So I'm going to define the following function here. Let's let Mij be a recursive function that tells me the minimum number of multiplications needed to multiply the ith through jth matrices. Okay, so let's just, sort of to define what my function is. Okay?
So, m sub ij is the minimum number of multiplications to compute, so I have matrices 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, dot, 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 up to n. And each dimension has a matrix, has a dimension. Let's say d0 by d1, d1 by d2, d2 by d3, dot, dot, dot. dn minus 1 by dn. My function here, mij, is equal to the minimum number of multiplications needed to multiply m sub I through m sub j. Okay? Suppose I had this function. Suppose someone could magically compute this recurrence for every index I and j. What would be the answer that I want to tell me the cost of the cheapest way to do it overall? What would be the cost of the optimal ordering if I had matrices here? Okay, it's the cheapest way to multiply from the first matrix through the nth matrix. Right? Okay, this is important to see now. This is a definition. Okay? This function tells me the cost of the best possible way to compute to multiply from I to J. Okay? And if somebody gave me a subroutine for doing this, I claim that the cost at least of the cheapest way to do it is M sub 1N. Does everybody agree with that? Okay? Now, how do we compute this function? Did anybody give me some values of this function that they know the cost of? What is the cost of m sub ii? What is the cost of multiplying from the ith matrix to the ith matrix? Zero. Does everybody agree with that? Right? What is the cost of multiplying from the I through I plus first matrix? What's the cheapest possible way to do that? Hold that. Di. What am I doing? How many matrices am I multiplying? Two. How much freedom do I have in deciding how to do it? None, right? So what's the cost of doing it? What? Well, not one, it depends upon the dimensions of the matrix, right? So I claim it's a dimension of the ith matrix. The ith matrix was di. I think, what do I say the ith matrix was? It's probably di minus one by DI. That was the first dimension to the first matrix. And the second matrix was DI times DI plus 1, right? Does everybody agree that that's the cost of multiplying these two consecutive matrices? The cheapest possible ways to do it? Yes. Read it. D sub I minus 1 times D sub I times D sub I plus 1. Namely, to compute from the ice, and what is it going to be to multiply the second by third matrix? Well, the matrix of this big times the matrix of this big. The cost is this times this. Right? Everybody agree that the function of dimensions? Yes. Well, this is asking me, what is the cost of what is this function defining? The minimum number of multiplications needed to multiply the ith through jth matrix. Right? Here it says I to I plus 1. This is one matrix, this is the neighboring matrix. This is asking me, what is the cost of multiplying those two matrices together? And I claim that that is this times this. Yes. Right, so where is this notion coming from? Notice that if I have matrices here, the first matrix, if I can multiply it, I know that this matrix has dimension D0 times D1. This matrix has dimension D1 by D2, right? They've got to share that inner dimension, right? So N matrices defines a total of N plus 1 sizes of rows of columns, right? The rows of ones is the columns of the other. Right? Does everybody buy that? Yes?
So we're going to assume that we're given a list of matrices that are possible.
You're given the dimensions of the input matrices.
We're going to assume that it's possible to multiply.
Yeah. The way that they're doing it, the way they're guaranteeing it, is that they're only given, because they give you the dimensions in between each matrix, basically. So that means you know that it's multipliable. Any questions? So, yes? Well, what is the cost of, if I give you one matrix, what is the cost of computing the product of that one matrix? Okay? Suppose I give you a chain, I say, you've got to work, I give you a chain, I'm going to give you a chain of matrices, you have to multiply them together, you tell me the cost. What is the cost of, I give you one matrix, what's the cost of multiplying all the matrices together? What do I have to do to multiply all those matrices together? There's one matrix here. What do I have to do? Nothing. Right? That's why it's zero. Any questions? So this case is pretty simple. But in general, how do I compute this recurrence in general? The basis case we had known, this is the answer that we're interested in. These special cases we know are easy. How do we compute the general value of this? Okay? Can we come up with a recurrence relation to tell us the cost of the optimal way to multiply the I through J matrices? Let me propose the following. Okay? Suppose I give you these matrices, A, B, C, D, E, F. I claim that when I multiply them in the optimal parenthesization, I claim there is going to be an outermost multiplication. What do I mean by an outermost multiplication? What is the outermost multiplication in this parenthesization? Okay? The last thing that I do. Everything times D, right? And what is the outermost parenthesization here? Basically, it is where I divided the equation into here, right? Here I divided it there. Here I divided it there. What's the outermost parenthesization here? Is it clear that in any parenthesization, there is going to be an outermost multiplication? Does everybody see what I mean? Does everybody agree with that? And that outermost parenthesization does what? It cuts the formula in half, right? Does everybody agree with that? A half literally, cut it into two pieces, not necessarily equal size. So where is that outermost parenthesis if I multiply the matrices A through your F? Is it over here? Is it over here?
No.
Where can it be? Can it be here? Can it be there? Can it be there? There. There. Can it be anyplace else? So what does that tell me? I claim that the outermost parenthesis should be in the place that will minimize cost, correct? But how do I know the cost? What is the cost? Suppose I decide to put it here. What is the cost of that going to be? I claim it is the cost of making the product of these plus the cost of making the product of those plus the cost of multiplying this by this, right? Everybody agree that's what the cost is? So what is my recurrence relation? What about the following?
Well, where can I write? Let's try over here.
What if I did the following? M sub I comma j is equal to the min over all k from I plus 1 to j minus 1, or whatever the appropriate indices are, all possible places, of what? M sub I comma k, make the stuff to the left of it, right? That's the cheapest possible way to make the stuff to the left of it. Plus M sub k comma j, that's the cheapest possible way to make the stuff to the right of it. Plus, what's the cost of multiplying these two resulting matrices? I, my matrix at the end is going to be di by dj, right? And how much time am I actually, is that going to be the cost of making the matrix? Final multiplication? What's the other dimension? Dk. Right? Don't you agree with that? That somehow that basically if I make my outermost parenthesis here in the gate spot, somehow I'm going to be making this matrix in the cheapest possible way. What is the cheapest possible cost for making it? Well, you told me this function told you the cheapest possible way, right? So this is the cost of the cheapest possible way to go from I to K. This is the cheapest possible way to go from K to J. And this is the cost of multiplying I to K by K to J, right? Depends upon the three relevant dimensions. Knowing that this was the outer bounds of my formula, this was the left bound, this was the right bound, and this is where my outermost parenthesis was. I claim you can figure out what the cost of it is. Okay? And so we get a recurrence that looks like this. Okay? Any questions? Question? Not the prohibition, but how many cases have I tried? You tell me, okay? Well, you tell me, let's count them, okay? You tell me how many cases we're going to try. We want to go to compute 1 to n, 1 to n, right? So n is my big number here. How many values are there of this function, m sub ik, ij? How many possibly interesting starting and ending points are there in my matrix? How many possible starting positions are there? Well, in general, something like n of them, right? I could start, my first point could be starting at any place in the matrix, right? In the list of matrices. How many choices are there for the ending point? One. How many? many recursive values or possibilities are there? I have n matrices. If I'm going to compute this thing, how many possible calls can I have to m sub I j? Overall. Okay? Could I have m sub 517? 417? Yeah, why not? If I have matrices going from 1 to n, let's say n was equal to 10. How many subruns of matrices are there, right? This is going to tell me the cost of going from the ith matrix to the jth matrix. How many for you? Okay, how many stopping cases am I going to have? This is the critical point. How many, what's going to happen when I build this tree? Okay, let's look at it, let's build this tree, right? You want me to build this tree? Let's build this tree. What is going to happen when I call it, well, let's say 1 to 5, okay? How many calls will be made from that top root node? 1 to 1? One, I mean, somehow, where am I going to be breaking it? I could be breaking it at the case, at the first spot, second spot, third spot, fourth spot, or fifth spot, right? In fact, actually, there's only four possible spots where I can split it, right? Because if I have five matrices, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have four possibilities for my inner multiplication. Does everybody agree with that? So what is this going to depend upon? If I split it after the first one, what do I want to know? M sub 1, 1, and what? What's the other recursive value I need? A 1 to 2, wait, 1 to 2. If I split it, what? M sub, well, the first one's not an interesting place to do, okay. Here we go from 2 to 5, right? Like basically, if I split it here, the cost is going to be basically this, right? Actually, right, it's m sub 1, 1, to be precise, and m sub 2, comma 5. Does everybody agree that if I split it here, I divide it, so now I want to know the cost of this, right? If I divided it here, what did I want to know? From 1 to 2, and from 3 to 5. Does everybody agree with that? From here, if I divided it there, what would I have? From 1 to 3, and from 4 to 5. If I divided it here, I would have from 1 to 4, and from 5 to 5. Does everybody agree? Any questions about this? Like, I don't see where that's coming from is a good question. I don't see why those numbers are what they should be. It's a good question. Any questions? Okay. So now let's keep doing this again. What's going to happen? Can I divide M11? You already know how to do, right? We showed how to do that, right? Well, what is M11 equal to? Zero. So that's not, you don't need to do any more work there, do you? To divide 2, 5 up. How do we divide 2, 5 up? What do we need to do? We can divide it up how many different ways? So what are we going to get? 2, 2 and 3, 5. 2, 3 and 4, 5. 2, 4 and 5, 5, right? Do we see any repetition in this tree already? It's interesting. I see 3, 5 here and 3, 5 here. Don't you? Okay. Do we need to evaluate both trees to infinitum? Once I have that answer, I'm done, right? Any other repetition I see here? I see 4, 5 and 4, 5. Okay. How many different calls can I have here? If I have an 1 by n matrix to start out with, How many possible pairs of numbers can I have here representing the calls that I'm making? N times N. Why is that? My first index can vary from 1 to N, and my second index varies from 1 to N, right? It's actually a little bit less than that. How much less is it than that? It's not N times N to be precise. How many is it? Since we know that the smaller one is always to the left of the bigger one, what is that going to work out to? More like half of that many, right? Do you believe it's really more like N squared over 2? So I claim that the amazing thing here is that there are only order N squared different recursive calls that are being made. They're being made in lots of places, right? But there are only N squared possible calls here, not 4 to the N. N squared. If I keep computing the tree without storing it, yes, I'm going to do something like 4 to the N. Right? The same thing as we were doing with all the parenthesizations. But suppose I say, hey, no, I've already got the answer here. I'm not going there again. I claim I've got N squared boxes. Okay? How much time does it take to fill any box? Well, any questions about why there are N squared boxes? Does everybody see that there are only N squared possible calls here? Okay? Anybody confused by that? It's important. Okay, like it's not clear, I want you to explain it again. Any questions? So what's the maximum amount of time it will take to fill up any box? How much time does it take to fill up a box? Assuming I had the numbers there to look up. Constant time? Let's look at this recurrence, and you tell me if you can compute this recurrence in constant time. From 1 to N. What is this doing? It's taking the minimum of how many different possibilities? How many possibilities? Well, no. The minimum goes from, this is the sum of three terms, right? What is the index on minimum going from I to J, basically, right? So how do you implement this, yeah? Okay. Yeah, probably. Okay, I think I believe, yes, let's say yes. Okay, the indices are a little slippery, but yes, as I renumbered it now. Okay, but how many times is this loop going around? It's going from I to J. How many times is this mid-loop going around? J minus I times, right? What's the biggest value that J minus I can take on? What's the biggest possible value J can take on, to be interesting? N, right? What's the smallest possible value I can take on, to be interesting? What's the biggest difference that you can have between I and J? N-ish, okay, ish, right, and minus 1. So what do we have? You think about it right. You've got a tree here where you've got only N squared possible different values if you store them upright. And each one of them takes at most N work to compute. This, I claim, gives us an N cubed algorithm if we see it right. Not the exponential algorithm. And why is it not exponential? It's because we are cutting off and not computing the same thing over and over again. Okay? Any questions here? Let me show you this as a program, and it'll look more logical. Okay? More concrete, perhaps. What about the following program? Here is my entire algorithm. Okay, let's maybe focus just on the algorithm part here. Okay, so let's just focus our attention on what matters.
I claim this algorithm, this little crummy 10-line algorithm,
will compute the optimal matrix order by the recurrence relation that we talked about in n cubed times, in a way that it's obvious it's n cubed times. Okay, what's it saying? For I goes to 1 to n, do m sub I is equal to 0. Right? This is what we talked about before. We agree that multiplying the matrix from just basically each matrix by itself, how much time did it take to get there? Cost us nothing, right? For the diagonal, which is going to mean the difference from I to J, since remember J is I plus diagonal, for diagonal goes from 1 to n minus 1, meaning we're going to start out being interested in J being 1 more than I, K being 1, then J being 2 more than I, 3 more than I, and so on. But for every such value, we're going to try all possible values of I. And what is it going to be? M sub I j is the minimum over all k of the cost of getting to the k spot from the k spot to the j spot plus the product of the three matrices. Okay? Forget about faster for now. That's just storing extra information to let us reconstruct the ordering. And ultimately, we return the value from the I through the first through nth value. Okay?
Let's look at this again carefully. Okay?
So what is this going to do? We are going to build up on this erasing the recurrence that I wrote right over here. This is the same recurrence that I had over there, right? What am I going to do? I am going to build up a big table. Here's I. Here's J. My matrix here is M. This is going to tell me this is going to be 1, 2, 3, let's say 4 here. This is going to be the cost from, actually, let's do it like this. 1 to 1, I'm going to think I want to organize my table. Maybe I'll say, I want to say, N, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm going to think something, right? No, that's not what I want. Maybe I do want to do something like that. Let's just try this for a moment. I may change it. Okay, this is I, this is J. So M sub 1, 4 is what my I really want to return, right? This is giving me 1, 2 is here. This is 1, 1. Let's take a look at it like this. This is 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. Right? 2, 2, 3, 3. Oh, I guess I've got this number. I don't have the same number of rows and columns, do I? Okay. Let's say I do it like this. Okay? What is the cost of multiplying from 0 to 0? 0 to 1? 1 to 1? 0, 0, 0, right? The ultimate answer I want to know is what is the cost of multiplying from 1 to 4, right? How many table entries do I have here? If this was n and this was n, do you see why it's n squared table entries? This would be an n by n matrix, except I'm deleting the alternate pairs, right? So it's half as big as an n by n matrix, right? What is my algorithm going to do? To compute the cost of from 1 to 2, how does it compute the cost of multiplying from 1 to 2? Well, that's the minimum over all k between 1 and 2 of the cost of going from 1 to k and from k to j plus the cost of actually doing the outermost multiplication. If I have two matrices, do I have any choice in the matter? So what is the cost of it going to be? For the diagonal equals 1, m sub ij, it's going to be the product of the appropriate dimensions, right? Does everybody agree with that? Or any questions? Like, I don't see what you're doing now. But, yeah. Okay, the reason for the indices and why you have to be careful with the indices is because realize that there is a mismatch between matrices and indices. Matrices, if you have matrices 1, 2, and 3, what are the dimensions? D0 by D1, D1 by D2, D2 by D3. You see that there's more dimensions than there are indices, right? So you have to be, you know, here we're indices matrices, here we're indicing, basically boundary sizes. Okay, so that's why you have your I minus 1 there. Okay, any questions? So what is this algorithm going to do? It's going to say, I am interested first in diagonal 1. What is the diagonal 1? Where the difference from I to J is 1. What are the cells in this matrix whose difference from I to J is 1? This is what? 1 to 2? 2 to 3? 3 to 4, right? So you know how to fill in those values, right? Now we go to diagonal 2. What are the terms where there is a difference from I to J of 2? I claim it's 1 and 3 and 2 and 4. Are there any other possibilities? No. What do we need to know to decide what the optimal way to multiply from 1 to 3 is? We need to know what's the cost of multiplying from 1 to 2. And what is the cost of multiplying from 2 to 3, right? The cost of the first option is this times this, plus this times this, right? And the cost of the second one is this times this, plus this times this, right? So we can now, and those numbers have a diagonal of 2, or less than 3, right? So those numbers are sitting here, fat and happy, in the table. I claim by now, looking up the two appropriate numbers of the table, we can figure out what the cost of the right way to do this is. Does everybody see that? See, very few people see it, they're not happy, okay? But what we're just going to do is march up the air, use our recurrence. Note that if we want to find the cost from I to J, we're finding really what it depends upon from I to K, where K is less than J, right? That means the diagonal here is smaller than the diagonal here, right? Does everybody agree with that? The diagonal from here to here is smaller than here. If we're marching up by diagonals, the terms are already sitting in our matrix, and it's just a matter of looking it up. Any questions here? Yeah.
Is it famous for looking up what you did if you multiply two together?
No, because up here it's more complicated. Let's look at exactly what that table is.
Okay, I have that matrix written out by hand. Okay? So what is this thing doing here? Okay? At each cell in the matrix, and here I may have rearranged the table in a different way, but it's basically the same thing. The cost of going from I to J, from I to I, is zero. The cost of going from matrix 1 to matrix 2 is just the product of the three dimensions, right? 2 to 3 is the product of the three dimensions. 4 to 3 to 4 is the product of the three dimensions. Here, I now have three matrices involved, right? What is the right? That's up in here. I had two matrices. Here I had three matrices, right? What are my two choices for my outermost parentheses when I have three matrices? I could either multiply this by this, which would cost this by this times this, or this times this times this, right? What are the costs of doing both jobs? What is the, if let's say my relevant dimensions are D0, D1, D2, and D3, what is the cost of doing this job? It is the cost of going from 1 to 2, right? Which we look up in our table. It is the cost of going from 3 to 3, which we can look up in our table, right? Sitting there at zero, but it's sitting in the table. And it's what's left? D0 times D2 times D3. Does everybody agree that's the cost of multiplying it out this way? If you don't agree, a good question is, why is that the cost of this, of multiplying it out this way? Okay? What is the cost of the other way of multiplying it? It's m sub 1, 1 plus m sub 2, 3 plus what? What's the other term here? D0 times D1 times D3. Right? Which one of these two are cheaper? Depends upon what the values of the D's are, right? But I claim that this number is sitting in a table, this number is sitting in a table, this one is, right? So what is the cost of evaluating this expression? What's the cost of evaluating this expression? Constant, right? What's the cost of evaluating this expression? Constant. I have two such things. Two times constant is two. Okay, so constant. Okay? But in general, when I'm going from one to n, how many choices do I have for the outermost multiplication? Is it constant? How many choices do I have? I'm hearing a crisp answer here. If I'm multiplying it, if I have a string of n matrices to go, how many choices do I have for the outermost parenthesis? What? N minus 1. So in general, what is going to happen here? To evaluate a string on the D-th diagonal, I am going to have to pay something like a cost of D times constant, to evaluate this cell, right? Because there's D possibilities. For this top cell over here, this is telling me about four parentheses. What are my choices for the parenthesization? The outermost one could go here, or here, or here. And the cost of it is governed by my recurrence. Okay? And it's governed by the exact same formula you have here. Okay? Any questions about that?
How do people sort of see what's going on? People don't see anything about what's going on. We don't have any questions. Okay?
So it's a little bit, these kind of methods, it's a little bit, you know, there's a certain amount of symbolism and formalism stuff going on. But think about what has happened here. We are going through all possibilities.
Okay? Because we are essentially building this tree. We're doing the exact same computation we did by building the recursion tree. Only, instead of actually computing the same thing over and over again, we stopped what we were doing once we had the value. And with this program that I showed you, this nice little n-cubed loop here, okay, was basically showing you a way to evaluate the recurrence, a way to traverse that tree, such that the values you needed were always there. That's what that thing is doing, right? It was telling you how to walk through the recurrence such that the values you need were already had always been computed. Yes? Basically, what is happening. What it's basically saying is, I'm using this recurrence to give me, when it comes time up at the corner element here,
again, what is this thing doing?
To decide where does my outer parenthesis go? What do I need to know to tell me where my outermost parenthesis is? Well, the outermost parenthesis from one to n has to be somewhere. Where is it? Somewhere. Where can somewhere be? It could be at 2. It could be at any value k between 1 and n, right? Isn't that where the outermost parenthesis has to be? What's needed is if I have my table computed for all other levels, I can compute the cost of the optimal way to do it. Why? If I decide to put the kth parenthesis here, the outermost parenthesis here, then what is the cheapest way to do it? The cheapest way to get up to this parenthesis, to get the product of this, which I know from my recursion calls, my table, the cheapest way to get from here to here, which I know from my recursive table, and plus the product of the final multiplication. That is the cost of doing it this way. And I'm going to try all possible ways to do it. Okay? Any questions? Now, where did the exponential go? This may still seem mysterious to you. Notice that at making that final decision, do I have to enumerate all possible ways to parenthesize this thing? All I need to know is the cheapest way to do it, right? I don't need to enumerate through all possibilities. To make my decision as to whether this is a good place for my outermost parenthesis, all I need to know is the cheapest way to get from here to here, and the cheapest way to get from here to here. I can't possibly be win by picking the second most expensive, cheapest way to get from here to here, right? If I use the second most cheapest way to get from here to here, could this possibly be better for me? So I'm only interested in the consequence of how you multiply these things, not the actual order. Okay? And that's where the exponential went. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So any questions?
And if people are confused, I don't see people are bored. Okay. Maybe snow. Okay. Yes.
Well, what was the question that I asked you? Actually, I think it was actually the answer. I assume you got this all on the what you want. What was the last answer on the
at the end of the problem? It says give an n cubed algorithm to find the optimal order using dynamic programming. So, in fact, when you did the whole problem of the day, I assume most of you got to that point.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Any questions? Okay?
So, okay, so let's look at another, let's look at a, let's look at another example. Actually, how much time do we have? I'd only show you one other thing, maybe, instead of going to the other example. Okay, I'll get to that a little later. Let's look at okay, so what is the story here? Again, this is the whole, on a slide, this is the whole theory that I worked out for you. The recurrence, just to review, the recurrence for the cost of the optimal way to multiply from I to J is the minimum over all K of the cost of building the left part, building the right part, and combining them. There are N matrices, there are N plus 1 dimensions. The direct recursive implementation of this will be exponential, because the direct recursive thing is not going to magically save, recognize when we've computed something before, right? Just like the Fibonacci's. Okay? But what's the idea? Okay? There are N choose 2 possible substrates between I and 1 and N. Namely, there's N choose 2 starting points. Okay, you choose two numbers from 1 to N. They represent the smaller ones, the left point, the bigger ones, the rightest point. N choose 2 is the number of possible distinct subvalues. You can store them in a triangular matrix. Okay? And to guarantee that the values were actually ready when you needed them, if we cleverly computed them, so we constructed them with the smallest difference first, the smallest difference in indices first, and then moved up the diagonal. That's what gave us our algorithm. Any questions? Okay, any questions about that? And so what we ultimately had was this program, which I know I flashed up for a second ago. Hold on. Where was the original program? Here we go. Now, there is one part of this program. Any questions about this so far? There is one part about this program I did not explain yet. What is the part of the program that I did not tell you about? Faster. Okay. What is it that Faster is doing? Faster looks like another N squared matrix, right? It's also a matrix with an I and J, right? In fact, with the same I and J as before, right? So what is Faster here? Faster is storing what was the decision that we made at this point, right? Why might we want to store that? Okay. What decision we actually made? Okay. Yep. Do I need to know what my decision was to find the cheapest cost way to do this overall? No, because I didn't actually use it in my computation of cost, right? But if I gave you a bunch of matrices, do you want to know the cost of the cheapest way to multiply it? Or do you want to know the actual cheapest way to multiply it? Yeah, it's like you go into Amazon, you say, oh, I want to buy this book. Oh, the price is $100. That's great. I'd like to buy the book. You can't buy the book. Okay, I will tell you what it did. You don't want to know the cost. You want to actually know what was the order of the parentheses that did that, right? And just knowing the cost doesn't tell you that by itself the parenthesization order, right? But what are we doing here? We're storing what was the decision we made, okay? What was the value of K that minimized this? Again, maybe my notate, my pseudocode is bad here, but you guys really have the basic idea here. This is, where did I decide to put that parenthesis? And I claim if I store my decision, I claim I can now reconstruct the order of the parenthesization that gave me the best cost. giving this matrix. Any questions? Does everybody see what faster is? It's where was that parenthesis put? Now, how can I reconstruct the order of the parentheses? What about this? Okay. Actually, faster and factor are the same thing. I have some serious typos here. Okay. But what is the order of it? What is the way to parenthesize matrices from I to J? Well, if I is equal to J, how much parenthesization do I have to do? None, right? I have a set of one matrix, so I might as well just write out that, hey, multiply that matrix, right? That matrix. In general, what am I going to do? I'm going to figure out what is the division point between I and J. Look this up in my table, right? Factor of IJ is the same as faster of IJ. Okay? This is going to tell me where was the division point that you thought was best between I and J. What do? Print out a left parenthesis. Print out the order of the formula that you get from I to K, because that was the optimal way to do it, right? This is a recursive call. Once you finish printing it, print out a multiplication sign, and then the order from K plus 1 to J. Finally, print the outermost parenthesis. Does everybody see how this works? This is a little bit complicated, but kind of amazing. Okay? Now, suppose you have this complicated faster matrix. In fact, I think I have one here. What is the optimal way to multiply if this is my factor matrix? Okay? What was the optimal way to do it? From 1 to the end, it tells me that the place to do it was the first possibility, right? So the outermost multiplication is going to go between the first and the others, right? Now then, what am I interested in? I know how to do from 1 to 1. I can print it out. Well, that's done. 1 to 1 says don't do anything. Print out the star. Now, find the optimal way to parenthesis. What was the optimal choice from 2 to 4? Which happens to be here, right? 2 to 4. And that says the outermost place was the third possibility. Right? So what do I have to do? Find the optimal way to go, print out, first of all, my outermost one, print out the formula from 2 to 3, which was here. Once you finish printing that recursively, print out a star, and then the last one, okay, which namely is basically going from 3 to itself. Okay, does everybody sort of see how this works? This is another thing that people find mysterious about dynamic programming. You wanted a solution in terms of the right way to do it. The recurrence tells us the cost of the way to do it. In order to reconstruct what the optimal way to do it was, once you know the optimal cost, you now reconstruct, work backwards from here. Because you stored what was the decision you made at that point. By traversing through what your decisions were, you can reconstruct the formula. Any questions here? Okay, yes?
It's taking us n squared time to make that table.
To this table?
Yes.
Yes.
And then it's taking us an additional n time to find the shortest path in that table.
Well, once you have finished, exactly right. It took you n squared. It took you n cubed time to build this matrix, right? Along the way, you spent n squared time dumping the values, right? Each entry here, you spent constant time to write something in the faster one, right? So you spent another n squared time to build this matrix. Now, how much time does it take to walk backwards? Only order n time, you're right. Why? Because this tells you where to go. There's now no mystery about where you go backwards. This will tell you how to divide the formula. and you'll then go back to two other places, right? Left and right. You're then going to go back left and right there, but every time you do it, you're dividing that string of n elements.
You're finding a way to cut it and then recurring on it, right? Find the outermost cut on this side, and recur. Outermost side and recur. I claim you're going to do a total of n steps here. Just like in Quicksort, you do only n partition steps. Right? You build a tree. Your tree, remember, is defined by the partition steps. You ultimately end up with n leaves. Okay? Because each element's going to be on its own. Okay? Any tree with n leaves has n internal nodes. Yes?
Well, because what do you want to do here? Let's think about this.
If you look at the Fester matrix,
this is telling you, you know that the optimal solution is given in M1 to N, right? That is the wisdom of the optimal solution, right? This value here told you how to divide it up, right? It told you where the outermost parentheses were.
Once you knew where the outermost parentheses were, what are the values you're now interested in? From 1 to k, and k to n, right? K plus 1 to n, okay? I tend to be sloppy on indices, but understand the wisdom here, okay? It's told you which two values matter, right? There's a lot of stupid, you know, a lot of information here. There's a lot of, this not only tells you the best way to do it, it also tells you the worst way to do it, and all kinds of other ways to do it. We're only interested in reconstructing the best order. This here has told you where you divide it up in the best one. How do you find out where do you divide it up from 1 to k? Where's the best place that you divide this Sahef expression in? How do you find that out? You look in Fester of 1k, right? And that will tell you that it's L. Okay? And what's the best place to divide from L to k? That's Fester of LK, right? And that might be an O. Okay? And then you'll be interested in what's the fastest of OK. And that's fine too. Any questions?
You guys are snowing. You've been patient here. But make sure you, the things to understand here, I encourage you to think about this, because look at the notes. Make sure you understand the big picture items here. Why is this recurrence right? Okay, if you can't figure out why the recurrence is correct, you're out of luck, okay? And that needs to be asked again at the beginning of class. Why was that recurrence right? Second, why were there only n squared possibilities if we stored it in a table? That should be clear. Third, why is it that the following, that little n squared code I wrote here suffices to compute that matrix? Okay? And finally, how do we get the real reconstruction?